So we've seen the first two pshatim of trying to understand and our focus between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and what type of payments does the mazik have to perform. And now we're about to see and understand, hopefully, what the third possible pshat, after the first two pshatim being rejected. Basically, the kibul of the first two pshatim in Rabbi Shmuel was by penalizing, or not penalizing, but giving an additional payment than really the value which was damaged. Rabbi Akiva says, whatever the value of damage you pay, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, over and above the value, whether it's a penalty or not, that we discussed on Shabbos. Well, Rabbi Shmuel is saying, but both, at the end of the day, it was rejected. Rabbi Shmuel is not coming to make the mazik pay for damage more than the value. That's not what Rabbi Shmuel is saying. It's a different argument as Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva that's taking place, and it's not to do, are you paying more than the value? That's all it is. Third Peshat is not saying you pay more value. So what is the third Peshat? So just before we start the third Peshat, I gave out the sheets, everyone's got a sheet, yeah? I made 10 copies, there should be enough to go around, yeah? Okay. Yeah, very good. So, if you look at that Mishnah in Gittim, which is right at the top of the page, before the number of one, right at the top of the page. Yeah, so it's the Mishnah of Gittin, also the Gemara Bava Kamma later on, quotes it, and it says that the din is Nizokim, by damage payments, the idiot. He's entitled to top quality payment, top quality land as payment for damages. But although somebody lends money, he gets money back in the form of average payments, if it's available. So the sister, a woman who wants to collect her from the estate after her sister, she's the bonus, she gets the rubbish. So now, from now onwards, I'm going to change the words a bit in order to say one that idiots, bainus, ziburus. Okay, so I'm trying to remember those idiots, bainus, ziburus. What it means, maybe it's a bit confusing to whole stop. So I'm going to change it. So say, I hope that most of you agree with this definition over here. Okay, idiots, I'm going to call Yushalayim lands. Yeah. Bainus, average stuff, I'm going to call the neighbor up lands. Ziburus, I'm going to call Bet Shemesh lands. Well, it's not a value of about price per meter. So I think it's not big stuff. I think that's how it is. No, you'll see. This is much easier to deal with. So you've got Yishalayim, today Brach, and Bet Shemesh. In that order. Okay? So that's a Hatzomah for what we're about to learn the third Peshat. Now, if you look at the second Hatzomah, the Pasuk, that's also in that page which I quoted. Now this is the Pasuk which says that the animal, somebody's animal damages, through shame variable, either consumption or trampling somebody's food, he has to pay. So it says in the Pasuk, I read it in English, you can read it in Hebrew as I read it in English. A person's animal goes to somebody else's field, damages it, either consumption or trampling on it. Then he has to pay from his best stuff, he has to pay. Now, the pastors, what it says, he has to pay from his best stuff, what best stuff in respect to who? The mazik, the one who's paying, or the best stuff of the one who was damaged? What's the pastors of the pastor? It's just, okay. The mazik, yes. You have to pay from your best stuff. Okay? That's how the Pasuk reads. No one argues on that. No one argues that that's how the Pasuk reads. You have to pay, you the damager, from your best stuff. That's how the Pasuk says. Okay, now let's read the third Pasuk. Third Pasuk of the Quran. So we go to the bottom of the page. And we'll go to the beginning of the line is Mechaveiro, which is More than 2 foot, around just after half. Yeah.
End of the line,
yeah. No, the end of the line is bar. Is he maybe too easy to find bar at the end of the line? Base race. You got base race at the end of the line, bar. End of the line with Gemara and Bob on the base.
No.
You're light. You don't have to get exhausted.
So you have more.
Okay, it's a bit of a different print, which is very
unusual.
Yaakov is at the end of the line.
It's very unusual for Gimora.
Most of them are there.
Yeah, so end of the line is Yaakov, if that's your prince. Yaakov. Yeah, Rabba.
Yeah, Yaakov, it means Olof.
Hmm?
Olof, not the Chavera. It's one.
Okay, yeah, yes, okay.
You see all the words.
Okay, so this is the third Pshat. So Ella, we're reading how Rashi learns this Pshat. Ella! Ella is beginning from the middle of the line. Yeah. Moshe, have you got it?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Ella, rejecting everything you said up to now, Rabbi Shmuel are coming to make you pay more than the value. He agrees you don't pay more than the value. Okay. So what's the machlokas? Rabbi Abba Yaakov explains the machlokas like this. Hakum asking, we're talking about scenario. Could go to Hoyse Idiot the Nizik. The best quality land the Nizik has is Kazabzuras the Mazik. It's really just Bet Shemesh land. All he's got is Bet Shemesh land. Rubbish, really. That's his best. Ubahabliki. And this is the Machlokas. But Rishmol Salva Bizanizik Shminam. Rishmol says, well, you only have to give the best quality of the one you damage, which is Bet Shemesh, is rubbish. You only have to pay rubbish, Bet Shemesh. Rabbi Akiva says, no. You have to be the best quality of the one damaging. That's what the Pusik says. The one paying has to pay his best quality. Mazik Shemino, he has to give you a Shalayim.
He has.
This day tomorrow. Mazik's got you Shalayim, Bet Shemesh. He has to give. The Pusik says, he has to damage you, he pays with his best quality, he has to give you Shalayim. Even though the one he's damaging, he's only got Bet Shemesh. He has to give you Shalayim as a form of payment. Who's more Mahme on the damager? Who's what making the damager? Yeah? Rav Kiva, obviously. Rav Kiva is saying, you have to give for the $1,000 you owe, you shall lie in land. Even though he's only got, the best he has is Bet Shemesh, you have to give you shall lie. So he's more Mahme than Rishon. Rishon said, you only have to give Bet Shemesh. You'll say, you have to give you shall lie. Okay. My Talmud Rishon. So Mar says, what's the reason of Rishmol? He's going against the Pusik. The Pusik says clearly, the one paying has to pay with his best. That's Rishmol. Why are you saying you only have to give Bet Shemesh? Why is that Rishmol? Ah, Nemesodelamata. He says, well, besides the Pusik reads, besides the Pusik says the one damaging has to pay with the best, there's something else out there, besides the reading of the Pusik. There is what we call the Gezeira Shama. A Gezeira Shama. Because the Pusik says, when your animal damages somebody's fields, you have to pay with best quality fields. Well, it says fields twice. Fields at the beginning of the Pusik. When the animal damages the field. It says fields at the end of the Pusik, which says you have to pay with good quality fields. This is the first field in the Pusik. The Nizik is obviously talking about the fields of the one being damaged. It says the animal is eating somebody's fields. Obviously, the field there is the one being damaged. So therefore, what it says, you pay with good fields. It means good fields, the same field we were referenced to at the beginning, was it means the best fields of the Nizik, one being damaged. So therefore, Bet Shemesh. You only have to give Bet Shemesh. Yes, because they shovels of midrashes.
So you're saying there's
a masorah
for this?
Yes. You don't, unless it may be needs, because masorah for this type of gezeirah shovels. Sometimes, you're right, some law of gezeirah shovels needs masorah, but this type you don't. Rakiva, what did Rakiva say? Well, Rakiva says, make it subtil and make it come. So what are you talking about? I know you've got a gezeirah shovel and you've got some sort of kabbalah, but hold on. That is when you go, you've got nothing else around, you can say your gezeirah shovels. But the Pasuk says, black and white, what you do. The Pasuk says, black and white. You damage, you pay with your best land. That's what the Pasuk translates. So forget about gezeirah shovel. The gezeirah shovel can't argue with actual translation of the Pasuk. Of course the Pasuk is saying, pay the best of your land.
Does the
Pasuk
have to buy
it from man? Oh, that's the Tosfos. Because we won't get into that in a moment. We'll maybe discuss it some stage, Mr. Shea. Okay. So out of the two Pshatim, who's on the back foot of this discussion? Who's in the corner over here? Who's got a difficult position over the discussion? Bershmal, of course. He was very, very clear. He says, the Pasuk says clearly, black and white, translating, nothing to discuss. You pay with your best land. You are the Mazik. So you've got this gezeirah shovel. The gezeirah shovel can't argue with the translation. So now Bershmal has to handle with that. So what does he do? The Gemara carries on and explains, how does Bershmal get around that problem? Bershmal, he says, I have a gezeirah shovel. I have a cloth. You know what? I hold the birth. I say the gezeirah shovel, which I'm telling you is correct. You pay the best quality of the one damaged. Yes. But of course, I can't ignore the translation of the bottom, which says you pay with your best quality. I can't ignore that. But I say both are correct. How do you say both are correct? They're in conflict with each other, opposites. So I tell you, they're not. Don't worry. I hardly gezeirah shovel to the ikma. Like I said, the gezeirah shovel tells me in a regular case. Reuven damages Shimon, then Reuven needs to pay the value he damaged in Shimon's best land. That's what gezeirah shovel go after one damage, his land has to be according to paid with the damaged quality of his land. Yeah. Bet Shemesh. That's what the gezeirah shovel says. Okay, so what about the Pasuk? And the Pasuk, where it says, you need to pay when you damage with your best land. The Chor Yerushalayim land, what's that talking about? Go, for example, the Israel Lamazik idiots, who's the brothers? We're talking about scenario, the one damaging, Reuven, he damaged, he needs to pay. And now he looks around, what's available for him to pay? He looks at his property, his portfolio. And he's informed that, you know what, you've got property in Yerushalayim, and you've got property in Bet Shemesh. Okay, that's your options. Either you pay your money which you owe with Yerushalayim land, or Bet Shemesh land. But if it's visit, then he looks at what he damaged, the best of the damaged person. One was damaged, what's his best land? He says, if it's the Nizik, he says, Mazel HaShovim. He says, hold on. I look at his best, and he's got the neighbor up. I look at the one I damaged, his best is the neighbor up. Old John says, what am I supposed to do? Rabbi Shmuel tells me that I have to give the neighbor up. I look at the person I damaged, I'll see his best, and that's how I have to pay. I look at it, he's got the neighbor up. I have to give him a neighbor up! But I look at my stuff that's available to pay, I see, I look at, I've got Yerushalayim, which is better than the neighbor up, and I've got Bet Shemesh, which is worse than the neighbor up. So what am I supposed to do? Rush roll! You never told me what to do in this scenario. What am I supposed to do? I either give him Yerushalayim, which he's not really entitled to, because he's only entitled to Bnei Brak, or I give him Beit Shemesh, which is worse than what he's entitled to, because he really needs to get Bnei Brak. So what should I do? What should I do? On that, says Oy. Okay, so Rishon says, Zuis Masel Shobikin is Nizik. So what you do? There, Mishalem made today. That's what the Pasuk translates. And Rishon says, no, forget. Here, this is when you go after the translation of the Pasuk. Translation of the Pasuk says that since you can't use the standard formula which I give you, which is the Zerah Shobah formula of giving his best, which is very roughly cast, there's no play to give it, then you got another translation of the Pasuk, which tells you another option, a secondary position, which now you can't give him labor. Now you go after the translation of the Pasuk, which is give your best, give your Yerushalayim. If you can't give labor, give your Yerushalayim. So therefore I learn both. There's a Zeh Shobah for standard case when it's possible. You always, if it's possible, give the best of what he's got. If it's not possible, then you've got the translation of the apostle, give your best. That's plan B. That's plan A, give his best. Plan B is give your best. So that's why I've answered Rabbi Kiva's flaw in my pshat. Yeah. I'm not going against the translation. It's a bad translation. That's applicable. But it's applicable in a limited case. It's only plan B. Because there is Shobah, it's plan A. Can't do because they're sober, damn it. That is the shot of the Talada of the Gemara. Everyone understands? Mm-hmm. Yes, I must.
You didn't answer the question, because the Bishmo, why doesn't he learn the opposite? You have a posse preferred to posse. So let's say that's plan.
Because there's no opposites.
What?
There's no opposites. There is no opposite case.
No.
There's no other scenario. You can't switch it that way around. If there's only, if plan A is to give your best, that's always possible. There will be never a plan B. Whether my best is Beit Shemesh, my best is Bnei Brak, or Yerushalayim, I always give my best. So there's never a need for plan B. If you're telling me there's two plans, plan A take it. One was Beit Shemesh, one was translation. That means that's the two scenarios. You know what? What's plan A? The one which is sometimes which you can apply both sides, but it can be knocked out. Plan A is you give his best. So that's not always possible, like a nice scenario. I can't be, I haven't got the name for that. So then you go into plan B, which is then give your best.
What happens if the money has worth, his best is worth, than the Nizik's Gambish 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 Gambish. And he then got the neck wrap.
Okay. So then.
That's according to that.
According to who? Who are you asking? According to that, he gives. He's only. According to Rabbi Kiva, he gives his best.
Regardless of that. Also, and not as good as the others. Yeah.
And you don't. That's basically Shmuel asked at the beginning of the thing. So it's a close expression. He says, there's never a chiv to go out and buy stuff. Okay. It's what you have at the time. Makabel, whatever you had at the time, we look at it, there's no chiv to go out of that, and we define your halacha according to what you had at the time of the challenge. Okay. Okay, so we have understanding here of what the discussion is between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Shmuel says, there's plan A, plan B. Kiva said, no, there's always just a halacha, your best, which the Pasuk says, there's no such thing as a Gizkizei Shavah. You pay according to the translation of the Pasuk. You dance, you pay what you have as the best you have. Okay, that's Rabbi Kiva. Okay.
Just a point of clarification. The Zeh Shobah always starts with the earlier one to the later one. It's never right the other way around.
Well, the one is clear and one is not clear.
No, I mean, like, if you've got.
The less of it is for the clear one. I'll see the other one that could be learned anyway, and therefore I learn it onto whatever this is this, which is clear, will tie over in. That's what Zeh Shobah is.
The fact that it was clear to
doesn't matter. First, second,
Sometimes
it goes both ways. Yeah, it can, if it's a mabish, they have clarity over here on certain subjects and clarity on other subjects. Each one clarifies each other on the subjects which weren't clear. Okay. Yeah. Now, as we asked at the beginning, so of course, in this sukya, the one who is the must-made person in this sukya is, of course, Rabbi Akiva, the way we're studying it. So we mentioned last time, the Rishash points out that there's another machlokas between Rabbi Akiva Shmuel, which is a fallout of this machlokas. Means they don't say it first, but it's automatic. Because what they're saying over here, there's another machlokas, another logic, automatic. What's the other machlokas? The way that he understood Rashi and understanding is an automatic machlokas. We don't know why it's automatic, and we're not going to clarify that at this moment in time. He says it's automatic. What's the other machlokas? Machlokas is, okay, all this posuk is talking about a payment that comes about through a scenario of damages. Reuben damaged Shimon, he has to make a payment. The posuk talks about what's the responsibility of that payment, what form it takes the payment. Yeah. Best stuff. So we keep it small and discuss what the best stuff means. Okay, now, come to loans. Come to loans. This posuk is not talking about loans at all. Loans, our locker is that you pay for the bankrupt. That's it. No, payments. You know that top line we talk about when you haven't got the paper. You pay the paper. And so the issue that a lot is, you can pay a church. Okay. Everyone agrees, nothing to discuss. No halakha or best stuff over there. That's their halakha. Okay. So now, what happens if you borrow money, if someone moving and borrow money, and now he has to pay. He's supposed to pay for their money. And he looks at his portfolio, and he says, oh, I've got Yushalayim, and I've got Bet Shemesh. And I'm supposed to pay for their brak. So what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do then? Torah says, give for their brak. I don't want for their brak. What am I supposed to do? Yushalayim. And Bet Shemesh. What do I do in such a case? So, Rabbi Shmuel from our sugya clearly says what you do. Nothing to discuss. It's clearly written in the Gemara what a Baal Chov will have to do when he's got the scenario of needing to pay Bnei and he's only got Yushalayim and Bet Shemesh. What should he do? Now, what does the Gemara tell us? He would do, what would Rabbi Shmuel tell us to do for the Baal Chov guy? What is it Rabbi Shmuel say for the Masik guy? When you've got Yushalayim and Bet Shemesh. And you're really what Rabbi Shmuel is supposed to give his Bet Shemesh to take up. What did Rabbi Shmuel say you give? Yushalayim. Why did he say you give Yushalayim? Why? Where did he say? Where's the source that you give Yushalayim? Because of the Pasuk. Because that's what the Pasuk told me to do. Pasuk translated. Yeah? Posit, tell me, you can't translate it, I don't know what to do, give Yushalayim, give Bet Shemesh, don't know. So he says, look at the Posit, follow what the Posit tells you. Oh, Posit says, give, you pay with your best stuff, means give Yushalayim. Okay. Have we got such a Posit by a Baal Chov?
No.
So therefore, you haven't got such a Posit by a Baal Chov. So Baal Chov has now got the same question. I'm supposed to give B'nai Brak. I've got Yushalayim and Bet Shemesh. I've got no person to tell me, give my best stuff. So what should I do? What do I need to do? Only Bet Shemesh. Only Bet Shemesh. So Rabbi Shmuel says, for Baal Chov, which has no person, the same quandary, then the result will be different, you will give Bet Shemesh. Because no person telling him otherwise. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, for some reason, he says, in that shayla for the Baal Chov, the answer would be, you don't know, you're supposed to give B'nai Brak. That's what the Torah says. And you've got Yushalayim and Bet Shemesh. Rabbi Akiva would say, the halacha would be for Baal Chov, even without the Pasuk, the answer would be, give Yushalayim. Says Rishash, that is a full-out machlokas of this machlokas. Again, in that second machlokas, who's the stringent one on the person who has to pay? Who's more stringent on the person who has to pay?
The giver.
So in both machlokas, the one who's stringent is Rabbi Akiva, in respect to Ishmael. In both the scenarios, Rabbi Akiva is being more stringent on the one who has to pay.
Don't you think Rabbi Akiva is saying that to be the best in the absence of the right?
Because that's how the Rishash learns later on. Rashi says that, and he says that. And the Rishash says, Rashi says you have to give Yerushalayim by debtor. He says, obviously that's not very small, but he says the opposite, okay. It must be Rabbi Akiva. He doesn't explain why. That's what he said. He made up a second half lotus. But again, we see now here in both Shilas, both scenarios of the machlokas, both cases of the machlokas, Rabbi Akiva is the more stringent on the one thing. So come along the Rashi and ask the question. The wording of Rabbi Akiva, when Rabbi Akiva hears what Yishmael says, Yishmael was asked, "Psak halacha, you damage, what do you have to pay?" Yishmael says his scenario, plan A and plan B. Yeah. Came along Rabbi Akiva and said the words, "No baha pasuk. The pasuk is not coming to be stringent on the one paying like you want to say. The pasuk doesn't tell me that what you say they're being stringent. The pasuk is going to be more lenient than what you want to say in the pasuk. It's going to be more lenient halachically on the one paying." That's what the word "lobal kosis" means. We keep saying, "You're too nachmi. You're being too stringent on the guy Ben." No, this is not how you read the pasuk. You read it like this, and it therefore comes out as a leniency on the guy Ben. That's what the word "lobal kosis" means. Which is fine with the first two pshatim in the Gemara when we're saying Rabbi Shmuel says pay extra than the value. Rabbi Akiva is saying just pay the value. Rabbi Akiva is tatter way more lenient. By this third pshat, Rabbi Akiva is not more lenient. He's coming to be more stringent. Put more restrictions, more halachas on the pain. Be more machmir on him. So it doesn't fit with the words lo barakos. That's Rashba's question. Lo barakosif of Rabbi Akiva is saying, "I'm the lenient guy." According to the third way of explaining the machlokas, you're not, you're the machlokas guy. That's Rashba's question. Because who's more machlokas? According to the, we're now explaining the machlokas of Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel, who's more stringent on the guy paying? Who's more stringent? Who's more stringent? Let's go step. Abi, who's more stringent? Rabbi Akiva. Lo Bar Kosif says, Rabbi Akiva is saying, Lo Bar Kosif, you're stringent on the paying guy, I'm the lenient guy. That's what the word Lo Bar Kosif says. It's not true. But the word Lo Bar Kosif, I heard what you said, is the formula for paying. Lo Bar Kosif to say what you said, because that doesn't mean you're being stringent on the guy paying the way you're talking. Elamai is going to be like how I read the pasuk, which will be lenient on the guy paying. That's what the words mean. That's not true. According to the Sefer Shas, the way you, Rabbi Akiva, are explaining how to the formulas for paying, you're being more stringent than the guy paying. Rashba's question. Rashba had his answer. We discussed it last time. Rashi can't say that answer. We already said that last time. Why Rashi can't say it. So now we've got the problem. We need to answer. So, let's see how we can answer this.
But isn't the Rabbi Akiva, isn't this the normal chart we're talking about? Is this the way he is?
But this, we're going on his wording. Rabbi Akiva said to Yishmael, "You said a pshat in the pasuk, which is stringent on the guy paying, and I'm going to say a pshat, what the former is, it's the pashtus, and therefore it comes out that it's more lenient." It's not true. The way we're saying, Lamaisa, the one who's more machmir on the guy paying is Rabbi Akiva.
That's the matter. That's wrong. Exactly. Your scenario is wrong. Forget about your scenario.
Okay, your scenario, forget about reading possibly because whatever the reason, I've told you why you're shut out, and it's not coming to say that you, in your reading of possibly correct, you are being too stringent. Fine, but that's got nothing to do with the question. What's the question of the Rashba? Nothing to do with Poshut Pshat Lomsha. The question of the Rashba is the word Lo Barakosa, which is Rabbi Kiva's wording. Rabbi Kiva's speaking to Rishon. Lo Barakosa. It's Rabbi Kiva's saying those words. Those words translate as, you're a mach negai on the guy, paying, I am Mekel at the end of the day in Halacha. Black and white. Nothing to do with how he got there, not got there. Black and white. Facts. End of the day, your Pshat comes out as a stringency, and I am coming out as a leniency on the guy paying. That's what the words mean. It's not true. It comes out the opposite. A factual statement which is absolutely inaccurate. Opposite. Wrong. Stira. Nonsense. Okay. So, how are we going to answer this question? So let's analyze it a bit like this. We've got the scenario of you need to pay the Nebrak. Yeah. And you can't pay the Nebrak. Yeah? Because you've got your Shalim. You've got Bet Shemesh. Okay. So, we said, Machlokes, the Rekiba, Mishmon, what you do. If you're talking about the debtor, there's no Pesukim, fine. Rabbi Kiva says, give him Yerushalayim. Give him Yerushalayim. Got no Pasuk, supposed to give. Rabbi Kiva says, give him Yerushalayim. You've got no Pasuk, got the debtor guy. Debtor guy, not the damager. You owe money because you bought it. No Pasuk. You're supposed to give him the Nebrak. You only got Yerushalayim, Bet Shemesh. Rabbi Kiva says, give him Yerushalayim. Rishmol says, give him Bet Shemesh. Now, think about it. What's the most logical position? What's the most logical position? I'm supposed to give, Reuben's supposed to give Shimon, because he borrowed money, that they drank. Not bad. But you haven't got your Shalim. You don't deserve your Shalim. On the hand, I've got Bet Shemesh. It's not fair to give you Bet Shemesh, because you're entitled to play ground. What should I do? The answer is, well, I'm going to tell you what to do. It's obvious. No problem. Okay, it's obvious. Now, so what's the obvious answer? What would you say? This is a Labalabati's way of looking at it. What would you say? As a Labalabati's way of looking at it, what would you say? Half
and half.
Not half and half?
That's three Labalabati's.
No. Okay, so let me form it in a different question, different style. I think then you will understand what's the origin. I owe you 100 shekels. Okay, I look into my wallet, take out my wallet, open up my wallet. Hey, hold on. I've got 50 shekels. Is that good enough for you? 50 shekels quits, you never come back to me. I owe you 100, and here's 50. Or do I say, hold on, I've got 50, but the other choice is, I've got a 200 settlement. Choose two options. It's Erev Yom Kippur. 10 minutes before Kol Nidre. What should I do to make sure that I'm finished and not have any obligations on me? The 50 shekel or the 200 shekel? I owe you 100. What should I do?
200.
To potter with you. Get rid of you. You have no obligations anymore with this payment. What should I do? 50 or 200?
200.
I owe you 100. Of course. You give. 200.
No,
of course you give. Now, put it into our side. I owe you money. I'm supposed to pay you. Obligations to pay you.
It's
yours. With the paper. Pnei Brak! I haven't got Pnei Brak. I've got Yerushalayim, which is better than Pnei Brak. I've got Bet Shemesh, which is worse than Pnei Brak. What should I give you to get rid of your debt, my obligation? What should I give you? Yerushalayim. Who says that? Rabbi Kiva. So how can Rabbi Shmuel tell us in the Gemara that no, give him Bet Shemesh? Not fine. Not bad. What's the difference? There's the chos. Is better than Peshavish. Okay. So of course, Rabbi Akiva's position is absolutely understandable. What's Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Shmuel says, give Bet Shemesh. How you use it by giving Bet Shemesh? It's not. It's underpaying him, so to speak. He does. He says, "Kedei Barak, and you're giving Bet Shemesh. How you use it with Bet Shemesh? You're not Yotzer. You're not Yotzer.
It's not about value. Value is the same." But you get best stuff.
It is, because it's an extreme example of your understanding. Of course, you have to give them the principle that you have to be Yotzer. You're not Yotzer with 50. At least 200, you're Yotzer. So you say, no, but you're not Yotzer. Bet Shemesh, at least you should lie, you're Yotzer.
And as much as the tirchus you sell and get money,
you're Yotzer.
It's not only tirchus, you're getting garbage. How do you feel the Yom Kippur that you give garbage? It's like a business for Kiddush. You give garbage. This is not.
No.
Don't think about you. Think about yourself.
Let us see. Chavrusis. Let us see. How what is all the shots? To explain what is the discussion going on with Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel over here, and I don't understand Rabbi Shmuel under pain and being Yotzer. I can do that. Let us see how the Achronim of Gusmu, Nochman, both of them, Machavim to the Kibbul Nechav, to the same idea of what's going on over here. Let's read number one, Amar Mokam. This is the definition of how Rabbi Shmuel looks at this situation. This is how they learn Rabbi Shmuel. Yeah. Rabbi Shmuel, yeah, you have this problem with Rabbi Shmuel. Why are you underpaying? Says this is the worst thing they say about Yeshem. Shahalocha. Shamaitivhi. This halocha of Maitiv. Who mitzin? Shazulcha hanizik benirse hamazik. It's a din of ownership which has been given to the damaged party in the damager's property. Just as when he damages, at the time of damaging, he's now five to pay $50 he damaged. Kumo came at the time of damaging, chal aleh, there's an additional monetary benefits that we are now giving to the one damaged, the Shalom Mitzvah, that now he has ownership in the damaged property, the good damaged property, in good quality damaged property, up to his good quality.
That's a question
So what they say? They say like this. Well, Reuven damages Shimon. At the time of damaging, that act of smashing his vase creates two monetary obligations and rights to the damaged party. He now gets two rights. He acquired two rights. What are the two rights he acquires? Firstly, he acquires, you owe me $50. Broken a vase because you owe me $50. Secondly, he says, Shmuel says, well, I have, the damaged party has, my best quality land is Bnei Brak. So now, as you damage $50, I now have a right of claim, a lien, as a horse, whatever word you want to say, in Bnei Brak land of the one who damaged, to the value of $50. I have now ownership of a lien type of ownership of $50 in his B'nai Barak lands. Okay? He gives me two things. Damage my boss gives me two things. First, $50, rights to claim against him. And secondly, ownership to collect that $50 for his B'nai Barak land. We use of virus. What happens if he has no Gnevra commands? He's only got use of Lion and Bet-Shemesh. Without Pesukim, I'll say, well, there's nothing to own. You're entitled to his Gnevra commands. But he hasn't got any Gnevra. You can't. You got a right of ownership at the Christian lien in B'nai B'rach land. He hasn't got B'nai B'rach land. So you don't get anything. Don't get anything. You only get the $50. If there's availability to get ownership in your best quality land, then you get it. If it's not, okay, so it's not. So in this case, there's no second zuchus in this case. It's only $50.
That's without a posuk.
Right? Now, the translation of posuk says, there's a plan B. Without plan B, if you can't, you only have plan A, which is, give you, here, you have a right of $50 in labor, which is your best. If you haven't got labor, there's nothing to acquire, there's nothing to own, there's nothing there to get a hold of. So don't get a hold of it. Doesn't have a girl. Comes along plan B and says, if you can't get the name for that, we give you ownership in his best. You shall have. But that's only because there's a plan B. But we're about home, where there's only one plan that says, give him the name for that. I look at that. He's had one play back. He's only got Yishalayim. He's only got seven. There's nothing they brought there. There's nothing for me to get. There's nothing to me acquire. So you don't acquire anything. You only get $50. You get the rubbish.
Why do you go from seven something for Nebra to zero? Surely it's just the worst.
Not the way it's getting entitled $50. What's $50 mean? Not zero. $50 now. I have $50 rights of collection of money. I could have a second thing of where to collect from also ownership, only though if it fulfills the rules of ownership and where to collect, which means your best, which is best paper. That's what they want. So I don't get it. Only have $50 remainder. If I only have $50, so what can he give me? You only have to give me $50. He give me $50 from the worst, from Beth Shemesh, from the Yotzer, because he has nothing else to give. He has no need to give anything else, because the one being who owes money has no ownership in anything else. He only got $50. I'm the Yotzer with $50 to pay for Beth Shemesh. That is Rabbi Shmuel. That's why Rabbi Shmuel says, when you got no Pesukim, when you're talking about getting money, and there's no conference or plan A, you can't give a paper. Default. There's nothing, he's got no support in any of those hostels, just $50, you can give him Beth Shemesh. What's a Rikita? Read the next words, and this is where we'll conclude the share with the explanation of the Rikita. He said, no, that's not what Mativ is. Yes, sir. There's no ownership, there's no obligation on the one paying to give anything over. It's only instructions to based in how they should decide what property should be given. Okay, we'll stop there in those words. I'll just explain exactly what he said. According to Rekifa, when the Torah says, damager, you get good stuff. A debtor, you get Blaybrak. Supposition, you get Betchemish. When the Torah says that, it's not giving any monetary rights at all from the one having to pay to one receiving payments. It's not giving any rights of ownership, Zuchusim, to the one needing payment at all. What is it? It's just instructions to base in. What's the instructions to Basin? It says, the instructions the Torah is giving to Basin is, you know what? If it's a debt, what qualifies as payment, if you give karka, if it's a debt, it's Beth Shemesh. It meets the qualification line. Beth Etzer Bnei Brak is good qualification for paying Etzer. If it's damage payments, basic, you should realize what qualifies as payment for damage payments is only Yushalayim. If it's Kulavizishra, what qualifies as everything? Okay? It says giving what qualifies as payment in the form of karka for different types of debts. And it's giving that instruction to the basis that when they see a payment style in karka, is this called a payment that qualifies? So therefore, the debtor comes along and he says, I'm supposed to give Bnei Brak, that's what the Torah says. I'm supposed to give Bnei Brak. But I've only got Yerushalayim and Bet Shemesh. So now, what should I do? Which one qualifies for payment and which one doesn't qualify payment with the debtor? Which one qualifies? Torah says to Basin, if you're paying a land, the thing that qualifies is Bnei Brak. Okay, I've got Bnei Brak. I've got Yerushalayim, I've got Bet Shemesh. What can I do? Which one of those qualifies for payment? Which one? Obviously, Yerushalayim. Because it's even better than Bnei Brak. The Torah is saying, at least Bnei Brak! Give him Bnei Brak, if not there, you give him Bnei Brak, that's okay! If I haven't, you can't give him Bet Shemesh, it doesn't qualify. Yerushalayim does. So the Kiva says, you give him Yerushalayim in such a case. So the end of the day, the Machlokas, and we'll repeat this at the beginning of next year, the Machlokas is between Shmuel and Rukiva. Shmuel lands, the din of Meitiv is ownership given to the one who's due money in the person who owes him money. He gives him ownership in that type of field. Yerushalayim, Bet Shemesh, or Bnei Brak, depending on who you are. You've got ownership there. If it's nothing there, there's nothing to get ownership to. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not to do ownership. It's instructions to base on what at least qualifies. And therefore, if you haven't got exactly what qualifies, you have to go over and above what qualifies to actually give the payment. So, we'll see next time how this answers everything.